Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Esteemed listeners of Sirius FM and Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah, we welcome you to our program, Al Fiqhu ala al Madahib al Arba'ah, Jurisprudence according to the four schools of thought. The date today is the 19th of Jumad al Akhirah, 1444, corresponding to their Gregorian calendar, and that is the 12th of January 2022. Our topic today is on wills, inshallah, and we'll be discussing various aspects with regards to the will, the importance of it. We have our Honorable Mufti Saab, Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein, Damat Barakatuh. Mufti Saab, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa Zaid Khan, Jazakallahu khairan.
Mufti Saab, what is the importance of drawing up a will before a person passes away?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihil kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher, and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings, and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The first thing we must understand, and this is where we diverge, and we have the big difference between Ra'sumaliyah, capitalism, and the Islamic system. In the Ra'sumaliyah capitalistic system, people will say they acquired this wealth, accumulated, and made this empire because of their business acumen, their shrewdness, and their degrees, and so forth and so on. Islam rejects all that. Islam says this wealth which Almighty Allah Jalla Wala has blessed us is the decree of Almighty Allah and not our degrees, is not our business acumen, is the fadl, the grace, the mercy of Almighty Allah. Therefore we say, Hada min fadli Rabbi, like Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam, this is the grace of my Allah. Hada rahmatu min Rabbi, like Hazrat Zulqarnain said, this is the mercy of my Allah. So this is an amanat, is a trust that Allah has entrusted us. Secondly, now we have to ensure that after our death and post-death, it must go to our heirs, heirs stipulated by Almighty Allah, Muslim. Muslim means one who submits, surrenders lovingly, willingly, sincerely to the commands of Almighty Allah, Jalla Wala, and the command and teaching, preaching of Mustafa Rasulullah Habibuna Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So study the noble Quran and see Surah 4, Surah Nisa, and then you find verses 11, 12, 13, 14. So there, remember in verse number 11, Almighty Allah teaches us of chapter 4, Farid wa tam min Allah, inna Allah kana aliman hakima. That the shares of the heirs have been prescribed and ordained by Almighty Allah. And it behoves Allah alone to do this. Why? Because inna Allah kana aliman hakima. He, Almighty Allah, was, is, will always be the one who's all knowing, his knowledge all embracing, all encompassing, and hakima, the all wise. See for a further reference, chapter 9, verse 60. Surah Tawbah, chapter 9, verse 60-60. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, the 8 different categories of people who are entitled to receive zakat, the compulsory charity. Then what Allah says, Faridatam min Allah, Wallahu Alimun Hakim. See, the glory, the beauty of the Quran. That this side Allah said, Inna Allah kana aliman hakima. Here Allah Ta'ala says, Wallahu alimun hakim. This you call tafannun. Allah Ta'ala changes the methodology. Otherwise, if the message remains the same, it becomes then monotonous. So here Almighty Allah uses the same attributes. So it shows that for a Muslim to think that now I can draw up my will willy-nilly, unilaterally, according to my whims, fancies and desires, that is haram, is not permissible. That we have to do so according to the shares which are prescribed, ordained by Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. Therefore, in chapter 4 verse 13 and chapter 4 verse 14, Almighty Allah mentions both scenarios. One scenario, Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. When that person, that Muslim, obeyed Almighty Allah and Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding his or her will, then ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. That is the supreme success. Now I'm reading this whole verse. Chapter 4, Surah 4, Surah Nisa, verse 14. This you call wa'idun shadid, a very, very severe warning. وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ, who disobeys Almighty Allah and the Messenger Habibuna Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَيَتَعَدَّ حُدُودًا, they went beyond the limits, they increase somebody's share, they decrease somebody's share, they deprive somebody, يُدْخِلْهُ نَارًا خَالِدًا فِيهَا, then Almighty Allah dispatches such a person to Jahannam for very, very long time. Allah didn't say abada. If it's abada, then it means forever and ever, like the non-Muslim. Said khalidan fiha, it means long time in Jahannam, Allah forbid. Thereafter, walahu adhabun muheen, that for such a person is a punishment of humiliation and disgrace. So see the ramifications and consequences. 1. 2. Open Mishkat Sharif and so forth. Man mata ala wasiya, when a person made a will and according to the Sharia correctly everything, mata ala sunnah wa fitra, so you passed away on the sunnah of Nabi alayhi salam, on the natural disposition and so forth and so on. So therefore we chose this topic. We know most people today don't use the Muslim Islamic calendar 1444. They will tell you 2023 has started, and they will tell you what is the date and everything, that today is the 19th of Jumad al-Akhirah 1444, the 12th of January, and it is 2023. So a new year has started, but are we ready? We're supposed to be ready long time ago. Habibuna Rasulullah Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hadith in Bukhari Sharif, that the person lahu malun, when you have assets and wealth, then he should not allow yabitu laylatain illa wa wasiyatu maktubatun indahu. He should not even allow two nights to pass and his will should be written already. Imagine in those days, Nabi alayhi salatu salam is speaking about the will being written. When writing was not something common, there was a paucity, shortage of paper and people who could write. But to show us, a verbal will be permissible also. But to write it down will always be better. So there's no conflict and there's no misunderstanding and the people misconstrue and so forth. So everything in the Quran Sharif, in the Sunnah Mubarakah, is always based on wisdom and on the Hakim, that Allah Ta'ala's own hikmah and own wisdom.
Mufti Sahib, what are the common errors that are found when drawing up the will?
First and foremost, you must remember this, that people, when they draw up the will, then the mistake they make is this, that what they do is that they are the ones that they make mistakes. Mistake that, I give you 4 or 5 examples. Number one, that now a person's son or daughter is on drugs. So now either they will deprive him of his share, or they will decrease his share and so forth. So is that right? Obviously it's not right. So that's one example. So what is the solution? I'll give you the solution. Somebody's daughter got married and now they spend 1 million, 2 million, 3 million. So on the nikah and that, posh nikah, 5-star, 10-star nikah, in this hotel and this hall and this convention center and whatever else. Then they tell the daughter, you know, your inheritance you're not going to get. Why? Because your nikah cost us so much. So now the daughter or the sister is deprived. So absolutely haram, that is too. Third one, that you find that they make people, the sons and daughters, shares, Dida danista, amdan qasdan, intentionally, deliberately. They make the shares of the sons and daughters equal. You see, 100,000, 100,000. So obviously that is against the Quran Sharif. So that's next one, if a person has got two wives, two or more. So many a time, that Bima is the second mother, the stepmother. So she's deprived or her share is decreased. So how we justify all these things? Then if we look at it legally, you see. So, Maulana, you must remember these examples because we have to address each one again. So, then legally, now you register your marriage. So, they go and register incorrectly. So, how are we going to address all these issues? So, let's start number one. Number one, somebody's son, daughter is on drugs, right? So, now the father, mother are fed up. They don't know what to do. So, Islamically, you have to give him or her their share. So you must appoint a curator. So what is the curator? So it can be the executor or it can be somebody else that is reliable. So you tell the curator that this guy is inheriting 100,000. So every month you must give him 2,000 or 5,000 and so forth and so on. Don't give him the lump sum 20, 50, 100,000. He'll bust everything up in 2 months, in 3 months, 6 months. So that's what, now we look giving you the solution for the problem, right? So that's one. Second one is what, that now that person there, that they deprive the mother, the stepmother, or they deprive the daughter of the share and so forth, because they spend so much on a nikah and so forth. All that is haram. You must remember this when that person dies. So what is his worth, net assets, all that at that time and liabilities. So therefore you draw up the table. So what is the table you draw up? ABC person passed away, right? So the first thing we must do is, Quran says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تُؤَدُّ الْأَمَانَاتِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِيَا. That verily Allah is commanding you that you hand over the amanat, the trust and all that to the rightful owners. So maybe that person had jewelry or money or a gun or whatever, but it does not belong to him or her. It belongs to somebody else. So that must be handed over immediately to that rightful owners. Why? If you're not going to do, people will take it for granted that this belongs to the deceased. And then you're going to cause big problems like that. So we must know. So thereafter is burial expenses. Now burial expenses we take from the estate. But if anybody, family or friends want to pay, so that's fine. Then, now remember in burial expenses, all those people coming and having chai and meals and all, that must not come from the estate of the deceased. That the heirs who are there, they must pay for it themselves. See, so we must be clear on this issue. Then the debts of the deceased. Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah says, debts mean what you owe to human beings. So all debt must be paid, whether it's personal debts or whether it's corporate debts, business debts, all debt must be paid. So immediately, not after 40 days and 100 days and 6 months and 1 year. So immediately, nafsul mu'mini mu'allaqatun biduyunihi hatta tubza'anu. Hadith in Musnad Ahmad. The person will not enter Jannah, paradise, until his or her debts are paid. So the second. So Imam Shafi'i, Imam Malik, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal say no, we don't agree with that. They say Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Daynullah ya haqqu wa ufa. The debts of Allah Ta'ala are more deserving to be paid, and you must pay immediately. So the outstanding zakat, how many years this person didn't pay zakat? Whether he made wasiyat or not, it will come under category 2. According to Shafi'is, Maliki's, Hanbali's. So we must know that as well. So that also will be paid to the poor Muslims and so forth. Then category 3 is wasiya. Wasiya is for non-heirs. So maximum is 1/3. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, wasulus, wasulusu kathir. Famous hadith, Bukhari, Muslim, Sharif and so forth. So therefore, from there we deduce that 1/3 is maximum. And for non-heirs, la wasiyat aliwarithin. Hadith of Nabi alayhi salam, Mishkat in various compilations. So whether it's a Muslim or non-Muslim, you can be bequeath for them, right? So that is a fatwa, is permissible. And then you will come to, can't make wasiyat to the heirs, and you can't bequeath for haram things, a church and a temple and all. Fourth one will be the shares of the heirs. So now we went, the heirs are there, and we decreased the share of the daughter or the bima, the stepmother, all that. So then all that is haram, we will use chapter 4, verse number 14, you see. Third one, that what we do, that we just make equal, you see. Sons and daughters, absolutely haram. Quran says, لِذَكَرِ مِثْلُ حَلْدِ الْأُنْسَيِّنِ. And the reason and rationale is not Islam is being chauvinistic or favoring the boy over the girl. You look at it that the girl, from the time she's born right till age of marriage, her father is responsible. At the time of marriage till death, her husband is responsible. So all the time she's receiving. She doesn't have to spend on her husband or her children. If she does so, it is just the goodness of her heart. She's just doing a favor. It's not imposed upon her. And the boy, at the age of 15, 16, all that, he must be already starting to stand on his own feet. So anything the father does after that is min babil ihsan, he's just doing a favor. Remember that. Then he has to get married, he has to pay the mahar, he has to furnish the house. All that is his responsibility. Get married, look after children. So all the cycle will start again. So therefore Islam gave him double and the daughter single. Now we want to give equal. Quran says, لِذَكَرِ مِثْلُ حَذِ الْأُنْسَيَيْنِ, chapter 4, verse number 11. So we can't. Muslim means we submitting, surrendering to Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. The next one, you must remember that Allah forbid that now this person here, that, you know, the son, daughter became murtad and became apostate and so forth and so on. So remember in that case there, la yarithul muslimul kafir wal kafirul muslim. A Muslim cannot inherit from a non-Muslim and a Muslim cannot inherit from a non-Muslim. So both ways. Muslim cannot inherit from non-Muslim, and non-Muslim cannot inherit from Muslim. So therefore, that person is considered ka'illam yakun, a person non-grata, as they say, meaning is non-existent for our inheritance purposes. So these are the basic things. And then, how do we register our marriages? In South Africa, in the current situation, we must register it ANC. Nothing to do with the political party. It means an anti-nuptial contract and excluding without the accrual system. ACCRUAL. So you must be out of that system. Then you make your Islamic will. Your Islamic will is valid. Nobody can contest it. Nothing of that sort. You go COP, community of property, or you do ANC with the accrual system. So it means that now what is yours and the wife's. What is the wife's and yours. So that is not true, it's not right. How can my properties, which belong exclusive to me, suddenly belong to my wife? How can the wife who came with so many Kruger coins or so much jewelry and money and so forth, suddenly it belongs to me? So Islam has taught us a unique system and a system based on justice and fairness.
Mufti Sahab, with regards to a person who is in his fatal illness, he decides to become generous and starts to give people besides his heirs. Is this permissible?
First and foremost, we have to define what is marazul maut, the fatal illness, what is meant. It means that that person, his normal duties, I go to my shop daily, I go to masjid daily, I go to my farm daily, I'm just giving examples. Then suddenly he, that person, falls ill. So now he cannot do that. He can't go to the shop, he can't go to the farm, he can't go to the masjid. Now at that time there, he starts saying, give this person, and he dies in that sickness. So that is what you call marazul wafat, marazul maut. So all those gifts he gave and all that is not permissible except in one third. We must be clear on that. Because we told you, wasiyah, the maximum amount is one third. So this will fall under wasiya as well, because he was ill, he was sick and so forth. There was some biasness, there was some prejudiceness involved. Therefore, Quran Sharif taught us in chapter number 4, verse number 12, anything you want, you will find in Quran Sharif and Sunnah. Take this. A person is a millionaire. I know of people like this. But remember, they're so broken because of their children and so forth, you know. All their children or some of their children, some of their brothers and sisters, or like that it is. So he said, let them go fly a kite, I will do as I want to. And he deprives them, he doesn't give them. So yeah, the Quran Sharif says, غَيْرَ مُدَار. When you are making up your will, the intention must not be to cause harm to the heirs and so forth. See, the Quran got it. Go to Imam Malik's Muatta, and what you will find, Muatta Malik, you will find Imam Malik Rahimullah brought a hadith, and it's a golden maxim and teaching in Islam. La dharara wa la dirar. Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, la dharar, don't cause harm to yourself. Wala dirar, don't cause harm to others as well. So just look at it, that 1400 years ago and more, all these laws were placed already, put in place. And not only is it the law, but is wahi and direct revelation from Almighty Allah to Mustafa Habibuna Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that is what we must understand here. Take another one, example, which is good also for our purpose. You, Mona Zahid Khan, Damil Barakatum, you got 4 daughters. Now you got 3 sons also, for example. So Allah make them all neck pious and what. But from that 3 sons, 1-2 sons are characters, you understand? They don't want to listen and thus and that. But that 1 son or 2 sons, very good, very obedient and so. So obviously it comes in your mind, in your heart, but these children are doing so much for me. And this one chap, yeah, he is a tato maso. He is, you know, a slow coach. He don't want to, he's lazy. And he just messes around and waste time and kill time, you know. We call it our mehman, we call it proper term tato maso. So he is a slow coach, like, you know. Like you get some people like that who are tato maso and all of them. So anyway, so in a case like that, now I'm the father, you the father. So during your lifetime, Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us hadith in Sahih Muslim, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَعَدِلُوا بَيْنَ أَوْلَادِكُمْ. That fear Allah jalla wala and do justice amongst your children. So the ideal situation will be when you give your sons, daughters, everybody gets equally during lifetime. You gave it to them, they are the giftee, the recipient. They receive it, it's transferred on their name, and no conditions and no strings attached. Then it's fine. But because this 1-2 sons are good and the others are not so good and so forth, so you want to give them extra. So Islamically it's permissible. Because of their loyalty and they're going the extra mile and so forth. So what Islam wants to prohibit and is prohibiting is where there is brazen favoritism. You must remember that. That I want to give somebody more because he's my pet, my favorite child. Not that he or she is doing going the extra mile. It's just in our heart we feel that, no, this child here, because maybe he's extra handsome or she's extra attractive and beautiful and so forth. So Islam doesn't allow brazen favoritism. But if it is because of loyalty, you want to give your son or daughter more during your lifetime and you transfer it to them, so Islam got no objection on that. All that would be acceptable and permissible.
If a son gave a gift to the mother and the mother says that when I die, this gift must go back to my son, permissible or not?
So you must remember that when you gave a gift to the mother, so now the mother took it, she is there, now the owner. Now she says that after my death, it must go back to the son. Will that be permissible? Not permissible. Why not permissible? Because now she's not giving a gift during her lifetime. She's giving a gift ba'dal maut, ba'dal wafat. So that will go into the estate. So now it means when it goes into the estate, now you are saying it must go to this one son or one daughter and so forth. But every heir has a share in that there. So therefore, when we speak of gifting and giving presents, all that must be done during the hayati, during the lifetime of that person. Our people say that after my death, this house is for you, the shop is for you, the car is for you. All these are promises. When you die, your promises die with them. Finishing class. So nothing of that will happen. You must remember that. Why? Because the laws of inheritance will become operative and effective after the death of the person. Yes, there is one scenario, one case, where we can help that person out. If all the heirs are sane and all the heirs are mature, and now they're all aware that mummy, father said the house must go here, the shop must go here, the car must go here, the jewelry must go there. So if they, all of them, are sane and mature, and they reach, you know, consensus amicably, there is no duress and there is no imposition and not putting, forcing, compelling anyone. So you're not doing it under duress and imposing, and it, then it will be permissible. You call that mimbabi sulhi, that everybody came and they reached an amicable agreement and an agreement among themselves. So this is to reconcile everything. So that will be fine with three conditions. All the heirs must be sane, all of them must be mature, and remember the shares were given willingly, lovingly, sincerely. There was no one imposing it upon others, and no one was compelling, and it was not done under duress. So then the fatwa verdict is, it is permissible.
Esteemed listeners of Sirius FM and Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jamaah, we return back to this program, Al-Fiqhu ala al-Madhaib al-Arba'a, Jurisprudence according to the four schools of thought. Mufti Saab, the next question is, who must be an executor for the will?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. One is the person who passed away. So he is the testator, right? And one is the warisid, those who are the heirs, the male, female. Remember, five people must inherit, provided that they are Muslim. So the son, daughter, so that's two, the children. Father, mother, so that's four, so already. And then the surviving spouse. Husband passes away, wife must inherit. Wife passes away, husband must inherit. So these five categories must inherit. Yes, Allah forbid if they're non-Muslim or they are qatil, that one killed the other, husband killed the wife, or wife killed the husband, Allah forbid, Allah forbid. So then they won't inherit, al-qatilu la yarithu. But in normal circumstances, they're Muslims. Now, who's going to oversee this whole thing here? That's the question. So the person who's going to oversee that everything must be done properly, you know, in our languages, in Mem and Gujarati, or they say kaidesar. So you must see now everything is done, that the funeral expenses are paid, the debts of the deceased are paid, and the creditors have received their amounts and money, and the beneficiaries, the Musa lahu, for who you made wasiyah, you see. So we call them beneficiaries, they receive their share up to maximum one third. Then the heirs, that the warisid must get their share. So you call that person the wasi, waw, swad, ya, the executor. It's not even necessary that the executor must be a Muslim. It can be a non-Muslim also. So people sometimes got more confidence in their lawyers, accountants, and professional people, and they pay them 2%, 2.5%, 3.5%, 3% of the estate. Say, for example, it is 2.5%. So 100,000 is the estate, so 2,500 will go to him. If it's 3%, then 3,000 will go to him. So that is now 100,000 nowadays is considered a very small estate. People go into millions and millions nowadays, you know. So then that amount becomes much bigger, obviously. So that is first thing we must know. Second thing is this, that you must choose such a wasi, such an executor that is an honest person, and a man, a person of integrity and honesty. Not that he's manipulating and using there, so he can also take out another share for himself beside the 2%, 2.5%, 3% and so forth. You know, people can manipulate a lot of things. So people make us the wasi. We don't charge anything. We just say, all right, we just say, yes, okay. They said, yeah, finish, done. But you're entitled to charge. You understood? So put it there. Now sometimes what happens, and we must be aware of these things here, because you the Maulana, you the Imam, you the Sheikh, you the Mufti Sahib, and that's it. So many a time, our Islamic law and the secular law, the law of the land, there is a collision, there is conflict and tension between the two. Take these two, three examples I'm giving you. According to SA law, South African law, so the person who signs the will, beside the testator, the person whose will it is, as witnesses, right? So who must be the witnesses? So according to South African law, the waris, that the people who are inheriting, they can't be a witness. But in Islam it's permissible, they can be a witness. In South African law, the wasi, the executor, cannot be one of the signatories. You see that? Because why? They feel that he can manipulate it. So it must not, according to South African law, it must not be the waris, the heir or heirs cannot be a witness. The executor cannot be a witness. You see that? But Islamically, all this is permissible. That the executor can be a witness, the heirs can be a witness, all that, there's no problem with that Islamically. So sometimes people, the problem with us is, because you see, we have that, you know, hidden agenda, that sinister motive. So you will see people will come to you, they'll say, Maulana, my father's will is like this. My mother's will is like this. So you must know, dal mein kuch kala hai, that there's something going on. And the South African law says like this. So why? He will give you this whole muqaddama and introduction, because he's getting a bigger slice, a bigger share in that way there. But you tell him, we are not South Africans first, we are Muslims first. And then South African, and then Portuguese, and then Greek, and what American, and whatever. So Muslim, what is? So the Sharia must be given preference, even that what is written in the world is secondary. So therefore, in cases where the world is written incorrectly, then although you let it go through because of legal procedure, the master and that, but among yourselves, the executor and the heirs, you must have a redistribution done, and that redistribution must be done according to the laws of Sharia. You see, so these are basic rules every Muslim, and our women also. 90% of the women, South Africa, Arab countries, Muslim countries. You ask them, Kala, world wasiyat nama tayar che, is ready. She say, what you asking me? My husband say, he sorted everything out. What he sorted out, they got no idea. You understood? So this is wrong, totally wrong. See, I give you a classical example and a typical example what is happening nowadays. Our brother Suleiman Esop is worth 100 million example. Maybe he got 100 million rupees, you understand? We just give example. So now you must remember this. So he's a man of substance. So now he got his wife or wives, and he got his children and everything. So what they do nowadays, because one side they want to look at Islam, and other side they look at the tax man. The tax man must not come and charge us too much tax. So they went to their sharpshoot accountant, lawyer, and all these things there. So he told them, open a trust, you see? Put everything in a trust. So this trust story is fine. But the law, you must remember, Mawzaid Khan, Dao Barakatuhum, you can't have a perpetual trust. When that person dies, so that trust must die with him. And all the heirs must receive their shares. You can't say, no, the money is in the trust. So it means if I want to take out my 1 million, my 100,000, I can't. Because you must remember the trust got its own conditions. So this type of thing. So it's my share, but I don't have that access to it and so forth, as I'm supposed to do. So that is why this trust. You can have a trust for tax purposes, avoid, evade, all these things there. But a perpetual trust will go from generation to generation, or not permissible in Islam. So you see, these are all the modern issues that come about. And therefore, you put 100 Muslim couples, 80%, 70%, two-thirds or so, they will tell you our money is already, assets are in a trust and everything is sorted out. But Islamically, the way it is done, the way they're speaking, it's a perpetual trust, so that is not acceptable in Islam. You see, the trust must die with that person, and then you, the people who are the heirs, you start and you establish another trust. So that's fine, we got no objection on that. So these are burning issues. And now remember, when the one brother gets his share, the other one gets a share, but they see this discrepancy, he got more, this guy got less, that daughter got less, then all the conflict, tension, row and ruction start. So now they look at one another, they say, you, my brother, bara chor here, he stole my money. Then they'll tell their children. So when children look at the chacha, kaka, they also look at him with the crooked eye, you see. Say, you, uncle, you did my father down. Now from where it goes to, you see. So we have to get out of this mentality. Therefore, whenever I have to deal with estate and people phone, I say, see, that rather keep the family united than everybody demanding, I must have this, I must have this, I must. So if everybody demand like this, now the father died, there's one Ferrari. Father, mother died, there's one Lamborghini. For this one died, there's one helicopter. Now we can't take that helicopter and this Ferrari, Lamborghini or Porsche whatever and tell you take the tire, you take the pistons and you take... It's obviously we can't do that. So it will go to one person. So the easiest way to do this will be in things that are la yuqsam. You can't divide it. So you say this is the value of it, 1 million, 5 million, 10 million. Which one of you heirs wants to buy it? We give them the first option. So the one who buys it, cash. So fine, it goes to him. And then the money that came in, we give it proportionately to the heirs. You see, simple way. But now if 2-3 heirs say, Zahid, your daughter says, I want, then your son say, I want, then your wife say, they want, then what will happen in that case? So you must remember in that case there, that we have Bay Umayyazid. What is Bay Umayyazid? We put it on auction. The person who pays us the most, because then all the heirs can benefit. But it must be cash, no on Sal Rehmak and we'll see and TK, no. Cash it must be, you see? So whoever pays us that, then it comes into the estate and then we distribute it. So these are basic rules. We must know how to solve and resolve the issue and this type of thing. And whatever you gave during your lifetime, that is history. Then you can't go back to that now. You have to carry on with the geography. When you deal with estates nowadays, the one son, say there are 2-3 sons, 2-3 daughters, say, yeah, but Papa gave him this, and Papa gave this, and Ummi gave this. Why? All what is gone is finished. We can't speak about that now. At the time of death, what did he or she leave? That is what we were speaking about. That's why, you see the Arabic language. Yesterday I did tafsir. أَفَلَا يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَى الْإِبِلِ كَيْفَ خُلِقَتْ So when you study the word ibil, if you go to the lexicon dictionary, you will find in the Arabic language for camel, you have more than 100 names. The richness, the beauty, the glory of the Arabic language. So we must remember this. Therefore, when a person dies, so the estate is called tarika. Hey, what's the meaning of tarika? Ma yatrukuhul mayyit. What the mayyit left behind. So what he left behind now, at the time of death. Not what he had 5 years ago, 4 days ago, 5 months ago. That is history. We can't. We have to look at now and we have to look at the future. So people harp on these things here. Say, but Papa gave him the property and then Ummi gave the jewelry. A lot of stories. That becomes a recipe for disaster. You must remember. So these are basic rules that we must know.
Mufti Saab, a couple is given a lot of gifts at the time of marriage. Now, when one of the spouses passes away, how does one define whose wealth is whose?
Very good question, Maulana. Now add to that Bimbabil Qiyas, that you use the law of analogy. Your example, you got Mashallah, Fatima, Zainab, Umme Kulsum, Ruqayya, the daughters of Nabi alayhi salatu salam, right? I'm just giving example now. So you must remember you got these the four flowers. So some people will come, you say it's a gift, and the daughter's name is written. Some people will say gift, but we don't know. Is it the child's gift? It is for the father, is for the mother, is for who? It's ambiguous, we don't know. So there, all we have to do is use our common sense, which is not so common nowadays, and we have to apply the logic and so forth and so on. We will say it's for the baby, although there's no name. Because they came to you at that time there and gave you the gift after the baby was born or when the baby is going to be born. So the qara'in and the alamat and the signs are there already. It's for the baby and this type of thing. So that is how you will work it out. Now similarly, yeah, you must remember, the couple got married. So there are three possibilities. So you got married and wife's name is Fatima. So it's written, this is for Hazrat Zahid Damat Barakatuh. So it's yours. This is written, this is for Fatima. Second one. So it's for Fatima. Sometime it's written for Zahid and Fatima. You see. So then it's 50-50. You got it? And what happens is they just gave it to you. And now you must, it's ambiguous. Then what you will say? So you must see the giftee, the Wahib. Who is he closer to in family, in ties and friendship and what? If they're closer to the husband, then it's the husband's gift. And if they're closer to the wife, it's the wife's. And if you want everything good, so no panchat and no argument and no all, make it 50-50 finish. You understood? So that is how you will solve these problems there. Similarly with the children. That you must remember when people give gift. So it's written for the child, it's written for the parents, it's written for the mother of the child. So that, you know, the baby's mother or grandmother. So then it will go to them. But sometimes they gave it to you, but their intention is both. So you must remember, either you ask them, or either from the goodness of your heart, you just make like this. Like half the time, if I go and somebody give me a gift, I just give it to my wife, finish in class. You understand? So there's no argument, finish. I just say this person to finish. Gift came to me, but I just gave it to her, finish. You follow? So this type of thing. So we just saw. Now, unless there is something that is meant for us, like if somebody give you a man's watch, they can't go give your wife, you understand? So I mean, let's be honest now. So sometimes comments say, I'm just giving example, obviously. So these are the things that we must use, and we must, you see, simple example I give. People say, please help me, I want to sort out the world and this, and all those stories, you understand? I say, okay. So what we do, we go to the house, we sitting. I say, these curtains, who it belongs to? So husband look at wife look at husband, both smiling. These carpets, who it belongs to? Same thing. They go to the kitchen, oh. So you're both smiling, Papa, but we still don't know who's the owner. You follow? So in Islam, everything in our house, we must know who is the owner. You can't be smiling and just have... So, but we don't know who's the owner. So the easiest way, this is not compulsory, this is just our suggestion. That way you're going to break head and all these kind of things, yeah? You're married now to your wife 5 years, 10, 20, 30, 40 years or more. So just tell her, oh honey, oh darling, oh poppy, oh sweetheart, everything in the house is yours, finishing club. So yeah, you're a Maulana, so all the kitabs are mine. You know, what she's going to do with kitabs, she'll just give it away also. So you must remember this kind of thing. Oh, you're a welder, or you're a computer scientist and what, you tell her all that is mine, you see. But by now there's pots and pans and dust and that. What are we going to do? Just tell her it's yours, finishing club. So that's it. But it's not necessary you do it that way. So the point Islam wants, every item you must have an inventory. And that inventory must state that the carpets belong to this one, the curtains belong to this one, the clothes belong to this one, certain things are double, you understand? For example, you must remember, people, they give you linen, Right? So now, that linen, to who does it belong to? We just put on a bed and sleep and dream. But who's the owner of that? The blanket, the godri, call whatever you want. So, all this, yeah. Now, when we don't fix these things up, they become point of conflict, tension, rows, and ruction. Now, the person is dead, he's gone. Now, one side, you are mourning, M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G. Other side, all these issues come out and all that. I told one person, after one day, that you must sort out the deceased things. I got nothing. I'm just giving it. He told me, you're wrong. He's telling me I'm wrong. I say, why I'm wrong? He say, we will only do it after 40 days. Yes. You see, now that is jahalat, is ignorant. But at that time, to tell people this is very difficult. Because people are emotional. They just lost their father, they lost their mother, they lost the wife or the husband, and they can't think straight. Now we tell them what Sharia is saying, better start sorting out everything. You say, no, we'll do after 3 days, we'll do after 40 days. Absolute jahalat it is. It got nothing to do with Islam then. In Islam, never mind next day, same day you must start. You must remember this. Even next day is far, too delaying too much. So that is what we have to educate the Ummah and teach the Ummah all these points here, that we must expedite these matters and so forth.
Jazakumullah khairan. Mufti Sahib will now mention the programs that is upcoming.
Inshallah, that 12 o'clock will be the news with Brother Suleiman Esop, and thereafter 12 to 1 will be a lecture by Master Suleiman Katani and everybody. See, we were speaking of dying and death. Yeah, the topic is that everybody will die. So that is by Master Katani. Then 1 o'clock Zohar Azan, then 105 to 130 Surah Ghashiyah, chapter 88, verses 21 to 26, inshallah Aziz, we finish complete the Surah today. 130 to 2 Surah Ar-Rahman, that is verses 26 to 45. 2 to 3 Current Affairs with Brother Yusuf Ali, 3 to 350 the repeat of today's Q&A, 350 to 4 the Zikrullah and Zikr. 4 o'clock to 5 will be Walidain Kesat Husne Suluk, Mufti Ahmad Khan Puri. Treat our parents very, very well. So remember that, they take their duas. And then 5 to 7, Mawlana Khalid Yaqub, 7 to 7.30, 7.35 or so, will be the tafsir of Surah Ghashiyah. Thereafter, Mawlana Dawood Siddat, inshallah. Then 8 to 10, brother, so today will be Mawlana Mufti Muhammad Aku, and that will be 8 to 9, a detailed incident of the people of Taif. So, and 9 to 10 will be the importance of education in Islam. So, Mawlana Salim Karim. Barakallahu fiqh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.